I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Wim Van Der Zandt joins me now, the gardening expert and longtime fixture on radio and publications throughout this part of the world. There's a new book out, Just Ask Wim, Down-to-Earth Gardening Answers. It's an engaging, well-designed book that has over 100 gardening questions. I'll ask Wim about the book, gardening, and pose some of those questions in this book. At the age of 19, Wim Van Der Zandt ran one of the largest garden centers in the province, and his knowledge of gardening came from his customers as well as his parents. He parlayed that information through many years of appearances in the media. Of course, he's remembered for the decade and a half he hosted CKNW's Garden Talk, as well as columns for various publications. Just Ask Wim is from Harbor Publishing. Visit artnaps.ca for his blog Ask Wim. As well, he owns both the locations of the famed garden store, the one in downtown Vancouver and the one in Port Coquitlam. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Wim Van Der Zandt. Mr. Van Der Zandt, good morning.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Is this your first book?
It is my first book, yeah, and it was an interesting journey.
Yeah, I'm surprised because I've seen other gardening books from say other folks in this part of the world, I'm surprised that it is your first book because I kind of thought that you'd already published something like this.
No, I have not. I do a lot of writing for magazines and I do a lot of articles and I do a lot of writing, but I've never actually written a book, and probably because it is quite time consuming and ended up being even more time-consuming than I had anticipated because I'm kind of a perfectionist. I wanted it to be perfect, particularly as my first.
Yeah, and I don't know why it astonishes me every time I get a book from Harbor, but how good it looks. And this one is certainly that.
They did a fantastic job. Like, I mean, it even floored me. You know, the information and all my articles that I wrote and all the scripting is one thing, but when they put it together, I was really floored. I mean, they did make it look spectacular.
So the photographs in the book of the flowers and the sort, the plants, are these things that you've grown yourself?
Yeah, most of the photos in the book are ones that pictures that I've taken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the flowers, not all of them by any means, but for sure the majority. And that is sort of something that I've been able to sort of log over the years, sort of a lot of unique pictures and particularly the flower pictures. I mean, I have resource to take flower shots, particularly, you know, owning garden centers, so it made it kind of easy. But yeah, some of the flower shots are spectacular too, and it kind of helps to make the book really quite enjoyable because I think part of the gardening world is the beauty of it. So being able to read and get information and then inspired by photographs makes the book really great.
Now, I'm not a gardener. But I've heard your programs over the years and quite enjoyed this book. And I've always wondered when I hear you or Brian Minter on the air answering questions from people, I'm always astonished at how much you guys know. Now, do you have an idea of what the caller will ask when you're sitting in the studio there waiting for the calls to get lined up and the sort?
No, it always amazes people when they ask that question is like, yeah, well, what books do you have beside you? And you know, how do you prepare for the next question? No, it doesn't work that way. It's like next caller, what's the question, and it's answered pretty much just live as we get them. So
yeah.
I guess we've answered so many questions in so many ways, and been involved with something for so long, and are passionate about it, and it makes a difference. That's for sure.
Do you ever hear back from a caller saying, "Hey, you told me to do this, and it didn't work out"?
I've never heard that, fortunately, but I definitely have heard a lot the other way. Even in fact, just yesterday I was talking to a guy, and he says, "You won't remember," but he says, "You told me to do this with my laurel, and I was shocked after I did it. I thought, oh my gosh, I destroyed the thing." And he says, "And now you should see it; it's just beautiful." So, you know, I mean, I know what's going to happen when specific actions against plants and the outcomes and. And yeah, sometimes you have to trust the advice once in a while, but it usually does work out.
Now, you grew up in a family that of gardeners, right?
Yeah, for the most part, my dad was definitely he had garden centers and was a horticulturalist, and actually his father was involved in bulb growing, and so yeah, it's a long family history.
Yeah, and you never went to school for horticulture or anything like that?
Not for horticulture. No, my actual specialty was kind of marketing and advertising and management and business management. So, So it wasn't, and that helped me definitely with my career, without a doubt, but always had that love for gardening, that's for sure.
And so at 19, you ran, was it Art Naps that you ran in, at the age of 19?
Yeah, I ran the Art Nap, which was on Lougheed Highway in Burnaby for quite a number of years, and sort of carried on there until I decided to branch out and sort of open my own, and had quite a number along the way, and now have settled with my real nice you know, garden center superstore here in Port Coquitlam.
Yeah.
And then I have the one in downtown Vancouver as well, which is a real niche, unique garden center down there too, so it's fun, it's cool.
I'm assuming that the one in downtown caters to sort of the urban dwellers, people that live in apartments, is that right?
Absolutely. It definitely caters to, you know, smaller apartment style living and smaller balconies, lots of balcony related plants and accessories and all that sort of stuff you would sort of enjoy on your patio.
And that's happening a lot now because there are a lot of apartments throughout this part of the world. Do you find that one can grow anything on a balcony, or are there certain things that one can't grow?
You know, it sort of is most dependent on space. I wouldn't say you could grow anything, but it is amazing how much you can grow. You know, if you want to grow herbs, if you want to grow vegetables, no problem. If you want a little tree, no problem. If you'd like blooming shrubs or flowering bulbs, they're all no issue growing any of those. So really, it's not limited by much other than the space that you're growing within.
And because you run a retail outfit, I'm assuming that you see trends in the sort. Are there things in fashion that people want to grow, whether it's a certain vegetable or a certain plant or a fruit even?
Yeah, well, it is funny because some things do surprise you. You know, like azaleas, for example. This is it's a popular evergreen bloomer that people really enjoy. We sell a lot of azaleas. And last year we couldn't keep white and pink in stock. And then, you know, at the end of the season you're thinking, well, we've got lots of purple left. I wonder why purple didn't go. And this year it's kind of the reverse. So those things do kind of make you wonder. But colors, I guess, probably go along with fashion. And that's purple is a sort of a popular fashion, clothing fashion style right now. So it probably trends with clothing to a certain extent. But the biggest trend is young people growing their own. They know the importance of trying to do something, growing close to home, not having everything shipped, and they also like the idea of growing it themselves, so they know what is on it and what's been used on it as far as if any bug killers or any fertilizers. If they can go organic and grow a few vegetables and herbs themselves organically, then they understand the importance of it and love the experience, and are loving the experience. So it has been a huge trend for sure.
And I guess this part of the world is set apart from say other parts of the country where it's a little colder. I mean, our climate, and I'm just assuming this because, as I said, I don't garden. Thanks to our climate, we can grow pretty much anything. Is that right?
You know, and I probably can't verify this, but we could grow probably the most diverse plant material of anywhere in the world. We are a moderate climate. We can grow. I mean, everything from, you know, wonderful vegetables and crops to you know, to things like palm trees. So we're very fortunate that the variety that we can grow is really quite spectacular. And unfortunately, most gardeners and homeowners don't take advantage of it. So in my book, I actually made some really good charts and listings of things like, if you want a perennial in your garden and you want to put a few perennials in your garden and you really want to have that color year round, so you can go through the chart and say, okay, I'm going to look at these plants, see which ones I like, and choose the one that's going to bloom each month, so that in your garden, I wouldn't say everywhere in BC, but for sure the islands, Metro Vancouver, you can have something in bloom 12 months of the year. And there's a few things like that within the book that are kind of, I think, exciting for people, because it will definitely help them choose the right plants and have lots of color in their yards.
Well, what's something, I mean, we're in late May now. What's something that we can plant now that would probably be good? I mean, a lot of us have time in the summer, so something that we can look after, say, in the summer months.
Well, you know, I guess it's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Because it is planting time, so you could plant anything. Pretty much everything is available, like I say, from the vegetables and herbs to flowers, perennials, trees and shrubs. So, but I guess it depends on what it is you are looking for. Like, if you're just looking for summer color, then you'd be looking for annuals. And the annuals, the benefit of annuals is that they bloom basically immediately after planting right through to the frost of fall. But then they die. As opposed to perennials, which come back year after year, and people often say, well, why wouldn't I do that? Well, the downfall to perennials is they only have, like, on average, a six-week blooming period.
Mm-hmm.
So the blooming period is definitely, you know, shortened dramatically compared to an annual. But the benefit is that they come back year after year, usually bigger and better. So, so you have to weigh those benefits and decide which ones you want. And it might be a combination of the two, for sure, if you want some color year throughout the entire summer. With maybe some perennials mixed in, then that's a great way to go.
Is there a plant that I could have? I'm sitting in my office talking to you. it's a lot of paper, a lot of books, and the sort, and there's quite a bit of dust. Is there something that's good for that?
For inside the home?
Yeah.
Inside office? I really like the Chinese evergreen, and I'll tell you why. The Chinese evergreen is, I think, a beautiful-looking indoor tropical plant in general, but it is one of the best air filters that you could have within a room.
Huh.
And I can't remember the amount of times it actually filters the air in a day. I think it's like four times it can filter the entire air within a single sort of average room space or office space. So it's a great one to have because it looks good, it's very hardy, easy to grow, and then but it's also doing some air purification for it at the same time. So it's a real good one. Chinese evergreen.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll look for that. You live in Port Coquitlam, as you said. How big's your garden at home?
I have a pretty good-sized garden. I have my vegetable garden is probably about 15 feet wide by about 40 feet long, so it's a pretty good size. I'd like it bigger, but then I have pockets, and this is something that, you know, that sort of the average gardener can do. They can say, well, I don't really have space for a vegetable garden, but they can fit a blueberry into their landscape and have a blueberry shrub in their landscape that's going to give them, you know, lots of fruit, lots of a nice green shrub, and then winter attributes of its red twigs throughout the winter. So it's a nice one to add and have some crops. I have along the side of my house, I have a raspberry patch. I have some apple trees, so some dwarf apple trees sort of situated within other parts of my garden. So you don't, and lots of planters with tomatoes and herbs and things all over the place in the backyard. But it's something that you can integrate even if you don't want to have a vegetable garden patch. But lots of flowers too. I do like sort of a nice manicured garden,
yeah,
particularly from the road. I like to have it looking nice and bright and colorful and manicured. So yeah, pretty good sized garden, I'd say.
Yeah, and if you wanted to start a garden, maybe not the size that you have, but if you wanted to start this year, this stuff doesn't cost a lot, does it?
No, it doesn't have to, that's for sure. If you want to start a vegetable garden in particular, really it's an investment in maybe compost and manure and maybe a little bit of soil. That is the investment, and that's what will give you results. You know, often our landscapes and yards are built on kind of construction fill or hardpan. And really, that needs to be broken up and material added so that so vegetables and fibrous rooted vegetables in particular, which most of them are, and root crops can actually, you know, grow through and grow into. And that's what will give you results. Plants sort of, I always like to say, plants are become what they're growing in. And if you're growing them in the garbage, you're not going to have great results. But if you're growing them in a great base of good soil, a good mix of peat moss and manure and compost and soil, then you will, without any doubt, have success.
One thing I learned in this book is that mushroom manure is not really, there's not really mushrooms in it, right?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I have lots of stupid little quirky comments in there. And, you know, mushrooms don't actually have any form of manure themselves. So, but mushrooms actually are are grown over horse manure in barns, and the warmth from the horse manure and dark barns has mushrooms growing quite readily and fast and easy. And so, but after a certain period of time, the mushroom manure has compost in, and this bent won't do the job anymore, and so they have to dispose of it. So it goes to garden centers where we can sell it to the consumer who's going to fill their garden with it and grow wonderful crops.
Yeah. Now, the lawns, the chafer bugs, those are some things that we've seen in recent years, I guess the last 10 years or so, is that right?
That's right. That's
And then it's a real problem, and in my neighborhood here in East Van, you know, I see houses, they put netting or something on there to prevent that. What's the best way to deal with chafer bugs?
Well, the beetle itself it has an annual cycle, and you have to actually get the chafer larvae at a very specific point in time. And to kill off the larvae will prevent the beetle from sort of going up into trees and mating and then going back into your lawn and laying eggs, which they do sort of in the month of May. Once they go down in June and sort of lay the eggs in the lawn, the egg sort of develops into larvae, and that's when you need the nematodes. And nematodes are this microscopic little wormy-looking thing, and you get like 10 million in a little swab. You mix that swab in a watering can, and then you release sort of little drops of water over your lawn area, so that these nematodes can kind of search out and destroy and kill the larvae of the chafer beetle. Because the chafer beetle itself doesn't do too much damage to a lawn, although in greater numbers it can. Uh-huh. What does the damage is these great, big, delectable, large larvae as these meals for raccoons and crows and skunks and the like. And they dig up your lawn to get these things. They know they're there.
Yeah.
And they will dig up your lawn to get to them because they're a big meal.
Yeah, and so for good lawn care, we're not really wanting to look our lawns to look like golf courses, but pretty close to it. You don't need pesticides and chemicals to get that, right?
You really don't. You know, regular mowing of a lawn. I mean, a lawn is a good thing. It does sort of help to purify the air. It does help to prevent erosion. I mean, it does. It is sort of a nice green border to our homes. I mean, it looks nice, but it doesn't have to require a lot of care. So obviously, regular lawn mowing is important. I use my Swiss Army knife a lot to get any of the larger weeds out, and it's just a matter of breaking off the taproot underneath the sort of soil level and pull that weed out. So dandelions and plantain, larger broadleaf weeds, are really quite easy to control. And then, you know, fertilizer, yes, lawns do like some food to keep them green. There's organic fertilizers if need be, and you know, people say, well, I don't like to water my lawn over the summer. Uh-huh. Well, you don't have to, because it will come back in the fall, but it doesn't take much either. Most people are watering their lawns way too much, so with really a once a half an hour to an hour watering a week, preferably maybe twice for half an hour a week, is all the lawn really needs to keep it green through the summer.
And do you have a preference in terms of sod or seed if we wanted to create your own lawn?
I do prefer seed. And there's all different types of sod and there's all different types of seeds. But it's funny because, you know, we have our seeds specifically blended for our climate. And so when you get our seed, or, I mean, any garden center seed, what you get is a seed that is definitely, you know, region specific, which can make a huge difference to the end result, care, maintenance of a lawn, and how well it will do and keep out things like moss, and how well a lawn can fend off other invading weeds. So it definitely is in my opinion, I definitely prefer seed.
And you have natural ways of preventing, say, like, I mean, a dog ripping up a lawn or digging rodents or birds and the sort, right?
Well, it depends on the rodent, because there is there's a lot of them out there, and just had a bear in my backyard the other day, so there's
really
all sorts of rodents.
Yeah.
But the for the most part, you know, if your lawn is healthy, they don't go after the lawn. There's not much interest in a lawn. So, you know, it's not something you'd have to be worried about for the most part.
I'm sure people ask you how to have, say, prettier flowers, bigger berries, bigger vegetables. Is there a secret to that that you share in this book?
Yeah, you know what, I talk a fair amount about mulching, and mulching is something that is a layer of sort of a soil mix of some sort, and it could be manure mixed with peat moss, could be soil and compost, could be just soil. I mean, but they're all considered like when you're top dressing your beds with any of them, you're mulching basically the space. But what that does is roots of many plants will grow upwards into that nice fresh earth, so giving them a larger root system in which they can get more nutrition, which they can get extra moisture. That also insulates whatever roots are kind of already in the soil, so they won't dry out as fast in the summer months, which is a form of protection to keeping them healthy. And also, that mulch, if you do that every year, every second year, of an inch or two, will help to also insulate and protect from any harsh winter that we might get. So mulching is a huge way to get protection and extra care and maintenance for those things that, like over summer raspberries. I mulch my raspberry patch every year because if they stay moisture, if they can grow a larger root system, and they don't have any stress from sort of the heat of summer because they've got a big root system, then those berries are going to be larger and sweeter without a doubt.
The other thing that I found interesting in the book is pallet gardening. I mean, we see pallets all over the place. I mean, if you're warehouses or lumber stores, so getting your hands on one isn't difficult.
Okay.
It's easy to do, is it?
It really is quite easy to do, and I had fun doing that last year, building the pallet garden, because all you really need is sort of a stapler, hammer, and some nails, and maybe a couple of large hook screws. I like the one that I did where I had the pallet hanging off the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you'll need some landscape fabric as well,
yeah.
So because you have to basically encapsulate the whole pallet with fabric, and then sort of plant in the rows where the pallet boards are, where the open space is. But it's neat because you've got a fair amount of what I had is vegetable and herbs growing on the side of my fence, but in quite a small space in the scheme of things, because it's just a pallet hanging off the side of my fence, and it looks very interesting. And I got lots of different types of herbs growing in there that I utilized last summer. It was fun, and I give you a step-by-step guide in the book too.
Yeah, I mean, it does look nice off of a fence. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed talking to you today, Wim. As I said, I've enjoyed this book. Good luck with it.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
The website for more, artnaps.ca. The book is called Just Ask Wim, Down to Earth Gardening Answers. It's published by Harbor. Wim Vanderzam on the line from Port Coquitlam in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Ponto.